we get to follow up on all of this at the end. There's a lot of major questions being raised here, public health, law enforcement, and so forth.
Thank you. The title of my talk is Cross-Border Mobility Linked to Tuberculosis Diagnosis and Treatment Interruption Among Injection Drug Users in Tijuana, Mexico. I'd like to thank my co-authors and Dr. Strathy for leading this study. And special thanks to the National Institute of Drug Abuse, Dr. Hartsock, Dr. Thomas, for sponsoring both this research project and my own personal research as well. I have no relationships to disclose. And so in keeping with the theme of our meeting, the epidemiology of TB in our border region, the majority of TB cases in the U.S. occur among foreign-born individuals, with the largest number of cases occurring in individuals who were born in Mexico. The Mexican state of Baja California, which includes Tijuana, has the highest TB incidence in Mexico with a rate that's three times the national average. TB doesn't respect international borders, and so it's not surprising that cases in both San Diego and Tijuana report significant amount of contact with residents across the border. I'll come back to the border epidemiology in a moment. For now, finally, drug use and injection drug use are risk factors for TB, and that's why this was a question of particular interest to our group. This slide shows that, basically, in a nutshell, the number of cases of TB in the United States and Mexico are higher both in border regions when compared with the overall national rates. Here again, we see the high rate in Baja California and our own state of California. So the objectives of our study were to identify correlates of a lifetime diagnosis of active TB among injection drug users residing in Tijuana, to contribute to our understanding of TB epidemiology among foreign-born cases from Mexico, and also to describe challenges and identify opportunities for collaboration in the cross-border identification and treatment of TB cases. Our study used respondent-driven sampling, which is a targeted sampling method that's used to identify hard-to-reach or hidden populations, such as injection drug users. Our participants were 18 years or older, had injected within the last 30 days, and we had a goal of recruiting 1,000 injection drug users. We tested all participants for HIV, syphilis, and QuantiFERON antibodies, and also all participants underwent a personal interview on domains including injection drug use, sexual behavior, medical history, and TB symptoms. We provided counseling and referrals as needed. And just since we have it here, this logo in the corner, this is actually a rocket, which is this, the Spanish word for rocket is cohete. And so the name of our project was El Cohete, which is something that the participants could identify as, you know, part of the study without necessarily having to broadcast what it was. The question pertaining to tuberculosis history in our assessment was the following: have you ever been told by a doctor or a healthcare provider that you have active TB, not including having a positive skin test without symptoms? We also asked participants if at the time of the study they had any symptoms suggestive of TB, such as hemoptysis, cough with fever, night sweats, and the like. Our analysis pulled data from over 1,000 subjects. We use chi-square and logistic regression with history of TB diagnosis from the previous slide as our dependent variable. Also, associations with marginally significant p-values were considered for multivariate modeling models with and without weighting for RDS. And so our results. 10% of injection drug users report having been diagnosed with active TB or TB disease at some point in their lifetimes. And of these 10%, 80% were diagnosed in the United States. The median time from diagnosis to the study was 10 years. And again, of the people that had received treatment for TB, half, 8% reported that they had stopped treatment before they were advised to do so, and of these, half cited deportation as their reason for not receiving treatment. IDUs who reported a history of active TB in their lifetime in our study were more likely to be male, to have been incarcerated at some point in their life, and also were older and had injected drugs longer. And this is consistent with the literature on tuberculosis. In addition, relating to migration, IDUs who, again, reported a history of active TB were more likely to be living in Tijuana because they had been deported from the United States. Again, if they were living in Tijuana and were deported, approximately three-quarters of this group were reporting a history of active TB. Again, they were more likely to have traveled to the United States and also to have lived in Tijuana for shorter periods of time. It's useful to note in this slide that all IDUs in our sample reflected a high degree of mobility. As we see, only a third were born in the state of Baja California, and three-quarters had moved to Tijuana at some point in their lives. In multivariate analysis, factors independently associated with a lifetime history of TB diagnosis included having traveled to the United States at some point in their lives, or moving to Tijuana because they had been deported from the United States, and also, again, lifetime history of incarceration. A few notes about our study. We relied on self-reported data, and so there was a potential for confusion between active and latent TB. Therefore, in our study questionnaire, we differentiated between TB and having a positive skin test without symptoms, and we asked a number of different questions to arrive at that difference and that distinction. It's also unlikely that injection drug users were screened only for latent TB if they weren't exhibiting symptoms. This is not a population necessarily that frequently accesses preventive care in the U.S. We suspect that much of what we were picking up was TB disease. We're also unable to determine without detailed medical records when and where injection drug users had been infected, or the purpose of travel to the United States, or their length of time in the United States before infection or disease. Finally, this was a cross-sectional study, and causal inferences, therefore, should not be drawn. However, in conclusion, we did find that mobility and migration were common among injection drug users in Tijuana, Mexico. Mobility also influenced the diagnosis of TB, as more TB cases were diagnosed in the U.S. than in Mexico in our population. Finally, migration and deportation have important implications for TB management. Again, we saw that half of people who stopped treatment prematurely did so because they said they were deported. And deportation, this is coming up in the literature more and more. It's been linked to increased risk for HIV infection among male injection drug users in a study that was recently published by Dr. Strathdee. So all this talk of deportation has important policy implications. It's already been shown in the United States that investing in TB control in other countries is cost-effective for the United States. It should be emphasized that, you know, the completion of treatment and the avoidance of drug resistance is vital. A number of programs exist, actually, and there's programs here in San Diego, such as TB Card or Binational TB, wherein people can enroll, and if they move to Mexico, they can continue being treated even if they move, and they become known to both public health systems in the United States and in Mexico. But as we see, if we consider the long courses of treatment and migratory patterns and sometimes unplanned migration, such as deportation, all these can be real challenges to these systems. Therefore, strengthening capacity on both sides of the border for identification and treatment of TB cases should remain a priority. I'd like to again thank our project funder, the National Institute of Drug Abuse, and along with the project staff and co-authors, and of course our study participants. The slides are available through the website, and so here are the references, and then here is a picture of our team in Tijuana. Thank you again.
Photo to the left is where El Fuerte, I believe, is set up. It was donated by an old lady and her niece for this work. They felt a real compassion. The wall on the right side is covered with the most beautiful roses you ever saw. You pull into this alleyway, out of this, you know, the rest of the, you pull in there and you think you come to paradise. And it's a wonderful place. I just wanted to add that. And thank you.
Thank you.
For talking.